Welcome to this podcast at Olympic and Bundy, where it's all about music and networking. My guests are from NABFEM, the National Association of Black Female Executives in Music and Entertainment. All right, Johnny, start us out with the introductions.
Well, I'm Johnny Walker, the founder and CEO of NABFEM, which you said, National Association of Black Female Executives in Music and Entertainment.
And you founded it how long ago?
Wow, almost 20 years ago, the year 2000.
Anniversary. Wow.
Yes.
Okay, and you founded it because?
There was a high need for empowerment for women in music and entertainment. A very, I believe, high need for networking for us, connectivity, exposure, a lot of visibility. I mean, we were there, but people just didn't know where we were or who we were.
So. I'm thinking you have stories to tell. How long can we go on the podcast?
I do have stories now. I got mm-hmm. stories.
All right, Carolyn Brewer, start us up.
So I'm Carolyn Brewer. I'm the VP Operations West of NABFEM and also the LA Operations Manager. I've been in the business for about 19 years, and I'm big on women empowerment. And I've been a member of NABFEM since 2001.
So you are Los Angeles-based.
Yes.
As is this podcast, Olympic and Bundy. And Johnny, you are not based here.
No, I'm in Memphis.
Okay.
Isn't that interesting?
And how often are you here in our great city?
As often as Carolyn invites me.
Very good, very good. But Memphis, though,
yes.
That's a place for some music also.
No, yes,
right.
Yes.
Okay, Cheryl.
Hi, my name is Cheryl Foster, and I've been a part of NABFEM for about 2.5 years now, mm-hmm. and I am the operation manager here.
And what do you do?
And it's just the day-to-day operations, just make sure things are running smoothly and developing new ideas, different events, and just more or less running the house.
Okay, so I think with any career, people might say, Christine Devine, why are you on this podcast? You're not in music. So we'll talk about that down the road. But I think the power of networking is so important in just sharing conflict, highs, lows, ups, downs, all of that. Johnny, what was your goal with this?
Well, we wanted to make sure that especially women understand that, networking is more than, going to an event and just sharing a business card or something like
that. How
so? It's more like it's not so much important who you know, it's who knows you. And so as we are doing a variety of events, one of the things that we make very importantly is, introduce yourself. Try to meet at least, we try to say five.
That's what I say.
At least five people right. that you did not know when you walked into the room.
When I do an event, my husband and I, that's our goal, which means five
at
new
least
people.
Five.
Split up. I'll see you in, see you in 30 minutes. Yeah, that's the goal, five?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And ladies, we can just jump in and make this a fun conversation. So, Carolyn, to meet five people, what's the technique? Because in this day and age, sometimes I don't even bring a business card or I lose people's business cards. So staying connected is part of it, but it's kind of different in this day and age.
For me, it's just, stepping out there, out of your comfort zone, introducing yourself, getting to know someone else. What do they do? Why are they here? How long have they been with the organization? If they're new, who referred you and why? Which is very important. What are you looking to get from the organization? And more importantly, what are you trying to deposit back mm-hmm. into the organization? So I say, make it a fun, friendly conversation, but get to know those things so you can find out the grassroots of each individual. That's very important.
Okay. Do you all collect business cards?
Of course.
You do. I can never find them when I
right.
need them, though.
Well, I get them, but, people now are so electronically motivated
yeah.
now, so a lot of times they don't have cards. But I found that what works for me, I find that people love to talk about themselves.
Well,
so,
of course. Is something wrong with
yeah,
that?
Yeah,
That's so true.
Is something wrong with that?
That's
right.
so true.
I think it's the most beautiful thing because yeah. Once you introduce yourself and yeah. then you ask the person, well, what do you do? And it kind of gets them started. They love telling you the things that they do. Regardless of what it is, they like talking about themselves and whatever goals that they might have achieved. And so that gets the conversation started. And so I can just move on to the next person. Yeah. Hi, how are you? So now what do you do?
Mm-hmm.
I did my five.
And it's also intriguing to find out who people are in the room because you never know.
Yeah.
There may be a diamond there. And it's someone that you may eventually end up collaborating with or, you know, developing something. Even like within this organization, we basically kind of feed off of each other and we help each other. Like my sister, Fila, who's part of the organization, we're about to go into business together. So you just never know. It's just so important to, you know, just kind of be open and make sure that you know who's in the room.
It's funny. Right. I met somebody at an event just a week or so ago. He pitched something he was doing. I called him tonight and said, hey, I'll be there tomorrow. We're going to shoot a news story on it for you and with you. Mm-hmm. But I just met the guy a week ago. So it's one of those things where we're constantly making connections. But music, I want to know why it matters in music so much. Ladies?
Well, I think it's, you know, it's important because you never know who's got the next sound. Right. You never know where the next energy is coming from. See, the thing about music is you can't really, like, say we're going to do A, B, and C because C can become A very quickly. So it's just very important to network, to talk to people, to stay abreast of what's happening, what's new, what's fresh, you know, and all the new. Who would have thought that? What's the kid that has the song, I'm Take My Horse to the Old Town Road? You just you couldn't have planned
it. Right.
Nobody could have planned
and
that.
Don't you love seeing something like that where you're like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
This is going somewhere.
I always say music is art. And for me, as an artist, I feel that artists should attend networking events because they don't know how to break through that outlet to get their music in the door. And you have very talented people out there that need that guidance, or they need to meet someone like a Johnny Walker or a Christine Devine or a Carolyn Brewer or Cheryl Foster, or just, you know, on down the list to get them to the next phase.
So I should ask you all, what is your history or background with music? And Cheryl, I know you have a strong history with sports.
Yes.
You're a sports family.
Yes, very much so.
But music also?
Not music per se, but I listen well. I love music.
Well, who doesn't love music, right?
I don't have a music, but a lot of athletes, they actually either go into like music and some sort of maybe like rap or something, or they may go into acting. So I just think that, you know, it all kind of goes hand in hand with each other.
I think, too, you being a sports family and so involved with sports, that you know celebrity, you know branding, you know interviews, you know red carpets, you know media. I'm thinking you can lend a lot of wisdom that way.
Most definitely. I do a lot of things in sports. I develop a lot of different mentoring programs for athletes, as well as I also teach financial literacy. And
I might need a little crash course in that. Stick around after the podcast. Go ahead.
And, you know, I do a lot of fundraising as well. So I think that it's important, you know, for athletes to also have something to look forward to outside of just playing sports.
Good message.
And it just so happens that it's more or less, you know, going into like acting, sportscaster, being, of course, a sportscaster as well as, you know, an entertainer.
And quickly, your family's into sports?
My whole family.
Starting with your husband?
Starting with me.
You do tell. Do tell. What did I not know?
I actually ran track.
Okay.
And my husband was a Golden Glove boxer. My son played professional football and my daughter played basketball.
You are a sports family.
Most definitely.
Okay. And Carolyn, you are music.
I am music.
Talk about what you do.
About 13 years in the music industry, working for independent labels and also doing cross promotions for major labels as well, mentoring people in the industry. So I worked also in the label, but in the studio as well. And what I found out that a lot of artists, they don't understand contracts and royalties, and they're just quick to sign on a dotted line and things like that, and point fingers, you know, when it doesn't work out, or they don't get that check after, you know, they then went platinum or something like that. So just try to give a little guidance and direction, you know, is what I had passion in when I was working there.
The industry's changed so
drastically.
Much.
Drastically.
Wow, I don't even know where to start with you. I have so many questions about how things are today. Is there an artist that you really felt that you really loved that you worked with?
I wouldn't even narrow it down and say they're my favorite. They're all my favorites because they're people and I love people. And like I said, music is art. And whenever you get in that booth and you create, whether it's lyrics or it's a track, you know, putting the beats together, that's a part of creativity, and that's a gift, and not everybody have that gift.
And it is so much fun. Having gotten to be in the studio just a bit.
Yes.
It is a lot of fun. And addictive. You could be there all day.
Right, absolutely. Yeah.
All right, Johnny, give us your history with music.
Oh, wow. My history is probably a little slightly different. I started out in country music. I was a country music DJ for many years.
Oh, how fun.
Yeah, it was fun. It was fun. I was country when country wasn't cool.
And now it's so popular.
Oh, man, I'm telling you, it's like the format right now. But I started out in country music as a country music DJ. I left that, went into music. I was in a small town in Mississippi, and I kind of think what makes my journey so interesting is that obviously there were no females working at the station. There were no blacks at the station.
I was wondering when you would touch on that. Go on.
But yeah, that's it was interesting because I love music, and it didn't matter to me. I think they kind of thought it was going to matter because, okay, I'm black. Female. Obviously, I wanted to be involved in black music. I did, but there were no opportunities for that. So I was taking it wherever I can get it. And for me, it was a country radio station.
No kidding.
And because I believe I was just very persistent. I think the guy just hired me because he got tired of me knocking on the door. And he hired me, and I was there answering the phone. And I would always go into his office and say, you know, you're really sleeping on my skills, because I could be things I wanted to do. And just that opportunity came where I did get the opportunity to go on the air. And, you know, the guy, he comes in and he tells me, he said, wow, you don't sound half bad there. So I ended up with a shift. And so from on the country radio station, man, it was...
I love that. I didn't see that one coming. Yeah. I got to tell you, didn't see that one coming. And then from there?
Well, that led me to a stint in Memphis because I just really wanted to get, you know, with an R&B station. I mean, play the country music. I just, come on, man, can I play Michael Jackson one time? And I was there for a while, but with that particular station, I was in a meeting one day, and we were the target demographic, females 18 to 34. And the guy says to me, I was saying, you know, a woman should be making some of these decisions. The guy says to me, women don't program. And I'm
why
like,
why not?
What? Yeah. And but the thing is, he said, well, if you believe that a woman should be, you know, like program director, tell me a female program director that you know. I didn't know one. And so for me, that was, okay, I'm going to program this radio station. And the last 2 years that I was at that station, I was the program director. I took it from number 12 to number 2. So
that's
one of my little music stories that I love to tell. But that just led me to a chance meeting with Russell Simmons, and we were not playing rap at the station that I had just taken to number 2 now, and we weren't playing rap, and so we were going back and forth on this thing of I should be playing the music, and I was not. It was just our own little argument there of I was not playing a particular song, and so back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, and I think he liked my argument. I think he liked the fact that regardless of what he tossed at me, I just held my ground on we're not playing the song. It's not what we do. And so this was like on the weekend. And on that Monday, he calls and offers me a job. I'm like, doing what? He's like, I want you to talk about my artist and my company the same way you stood up for that radio station. And
this
so
is Russell Simmons.
Yeah. And so this is really how it started for me. I took the job, and I mean, the salary was very nice. And so with that, I left radio, which was my love. But wow, you know?
Yeah.
Wow. I had a kid. She's about thinking about college and things. And it's like, okay, it's a bigger chunk of the pie over here than it is over here. And so, and the other cool thing about it was when I said that I didn't really know that much about the record industry, because my whole background was radio. And he said, I'll teach you what you need to know.
Got to start somewhere.
Okay, so there it is. So I just went from there, and I was at Def Jam for 15 years. Left the company as senior vice president, and I went to work for DreamWorks Records. Steven Spielberg hired me.
You
when
got some creds.
Yes.
You got some
most
creds.
Definitely.
Wow.
So,
well, it's funny where we end up, because I started in radio as well. Mm-hmm. I was a journalism student in college, but my family moved to a small town, so I moved there for the summer. Didn't have anything to do, just applied at whatever broadcasting stations they had in this small town. It happened to be radio. So I worked a 4 a.m. shift where I would, one, go to this opera station and just plug in the tapes. That's all I did, 4 a.m., plug in the tapes. Then I also got to work at a music station and got to broadcast kind of some news updates. So I'd like to say I started in radio, but, you know, the dream was to work in harder news, which is what I ended up going into. But just to have that on your resume, to get used to the microphones and the buttons and just being around it, is inspiring. Yeah. It keeps you going. So, all right, we're coming up on your 20th anniversary.
Yay!
Big plans? Big plans?
Well, we're in the process of putting some plans together, but really we just want to see, you know, where we are. You know, it's easy. Well, I don't want to say it's easy, but, you know, we could plan a big party or a big gala event, but it's really not about that. It's almost like a family reunion for us.
Okay.
And so we've got women that are involved in this organization around the country, actually the world, because we have a great network in Lagos, Nigeria. And then we have a group, I'm sure they're busy tonight in Toronto, Canada.
Let's have a conference in Nigeria.
That would be absolutely awesome.
They're asking for it.
Yes.
Good. Okay. All right. So, Carolyn, in Los Angeles, I've got to think we're probably one of the bigger hubs of the organization.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So where is L.A.'s place in all of this?
You know, L.A. is entertainment capital. So we do what we can to make sure that, you know, we connect all the dots when it comes to doing meetings and doing events and making sure that people understand that we exist and why we're here, you know, with the women empowerment. And also connecting with the youth as well. So we want to make sure that we not only try to stay relevant with women empowerment, but we give back when it comes to the youth, because they're the ones that we're going to pass the torch over to.
Okay, so are there activities that you're already doing that you want to talk about?
There are some activities that we're doing. We're actually working with some of the schools that are in Los Angeles. We are doing Read Across America. We're also, we have like our chef Fila that's actually teaching healthy cooking for the teachers as well as the students. And we're also looking to provide scholarships for people that are trying to, for young women that are actually trying to break into the business.
Okay.
So there are some things that we're definitely working on and that we have been doing within the area.
Well, I think of music in the schools because some kids find academics to be not so fun, but it's the arts that keeps them really interested in school. It's the other activities that comes with being in a school setting. And I know a lot of the programs have been cut. Mm-hmm. So any kind of influence for the kids is so important.
Well, one of the things that I like to add is, I mean, the kids see the artists, you know, say on TV. They hear the songs wherever they're getting their music from these days. But rarely do they see the jobs, the opportunities, the careers that are behind these artists and behind all of this. You know, they don't get that. So we try to do as much as we can with our resources to expose young people to the myriad of opportunities that exist behind the scenes, whether it's sports, whether it's fashion, whether it's film, whether it's music, regardless. We just believe there are so many gems out there. And so all of the leaders that are there to take not only our organization, but just, I would say, this art form, regardless of which one it is, to the next level, it's those young kids. But, you know, they have to see beyond what they see on TV.
Yeah.
You know, they have to, if they see Beyonce hit the stage, let's talk about the probably 200 people that touch her directly or indirectly before she goes on that stage. So let's talk about those opportunities.
Well,
that's just there's a very strong passion of mine.
I'm a believer in that. And when I do my Wednesday's Child Adoption segment, we try to do a dream day. And I tell the kids, look around at all the other jobs that are part of this in case we don't maybe get the one we think we want. What else can you do? Like, I'm never going to play for the Lakers. Mm-hmm. It's just not going to happen. But can I work in operations? Can I work for the – oh, is that someone's telly? Yeah. Someone's getting a very important call.
Working in the background.
You mentioned Beyonce. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe that call's coming in.
Yeah.
No, but yeah, all those other jobs that could be part of, say, a Laker organization, mm-hmm. that people can do. And so I'm a strong believer in that. Yes. I think that's so true. That's so true.
And it is so important to have, like, mentoring programs, even, like, in sports, because you know that there's a small segment that's going to actually make it into the professional arena. And we have this thing that we do called Business of Sports Summit, and it's to be your own boss. Mm-hmm. And so what we do is we bring in people from all different walks of life to mentor these kids, to let them know that, okay, if you still want to be a part of sports, you can be a doctor. I mean, you could be a lawyer. You could be a physical therapist.
Team doctor.
Yes. Yeah. You can be a manager. You could be a sports agent. I mean, so there's a lot of things that you can do and still be a part of the sport itself.
I even say somebody's got to make the jersey.
Right. Right.
Somebody's got to make the food. Absolutely. Somebody's got to sell the tickets.
You know, one time we were at a meeting and I met this young lady and we were just talking about jobs behind the scenes. And so, and I asked the young lady, I said, well, what do you do? And she says, I'm vice president of premium tickets. I went, what is that?
Right.
And so her job is to make sure that the Jay-Z's of the world are on, you know, what is it?
Courtside.
Courtside. Mm-hmm. So that's what she does.
Oh,
she,
that'd be fun.
Vice president of premium tickets.
Wow.
That's serious. Very serious.
That's a great role.
She's making sure celebrities are, you know, I guess camera ready,
visible
and where they need to be. And that's her job.
Uh-huh. I need her number. That is a phone number.
Great resource.
Am I right? Okay, so also another program you have is Women Who Jam. Carolyn, what is that?
Women Who Jam is a...
It's an experience.
It's an experience of music. Up-and-coming artists. We also have established artists, and it's a concert setting that we put on across the state to highlight women and their music. We also have Women Who Jam Radio, but I'll let Johnny kind of touch more on that because she does with Women Who Jam Radio.
You got it.
Well, women, like I said, Women Who Jam, it's an experience, and it's right. also an opportunity for us to bring, I'm going to say individuals because it's so easy for me to say women, but to bring together individuals, I like to say a common interest and a common cause. Right. Obviously, for us, the common interest is women in music. The common cause is the lack thereof. So we create as much as we can within Women Who Jam. It's a radio show where we only play female artists, and that's an opportunity for us to spotlight, highlight, expose women that are making music. But when we do the live concerts, that is the show. I mean, there are great female audio engineers out there, but they rarely get an opportunity. A lot of people don't know who they are. So we take with our shows everywhere in any position. Obviously, sometimes we got to use guys. We love our brothers, but we try to create as much of an opportunity that we can for women that are in whatever facet that they're in. So that's why I said we just bring people together through a common interest and a common cause.
Do you have any kind of numbers? I don't know if you have like stats as to where we're at with women in the industry. I mean, I know obviously we're thinking of the Me Too movement and other issues for women in all kinds of businesses that are getting more and more opportunities. But I remember even being a newscaster and being the only woman on the set. So, you know, we've all been in that situation where we're the only woman there.
Right.
Right.
Well, I don't have any exact stats. I think, you know, just I read so much, you know, and I'm always just trying to stay abreast of what's really going on. But, you know, when this plight is, it's just not in one place, you know. It's in country music. It's in R&B. It's in hip-hop. It's everywhere. So, as much that we can do to be a voice to highlight women wherever they are and whatever they're doing, maybe we can increase those numbers where you will have exacts as to, you know, how many women or how many are not visible on the charts or not visible, say, in the latest releases of recorded music or what have you. But, you know, we are not as visible as we would like to be. And the opportunities for us, you know, we're not touring. You may want to now. Beyonce, okay. Want to touring, but we're not touring in numbers, you know. And it's not a situation where even, say, musically, when you look at the charts that do exist now, I know everything's different and everybody's streaming. It's all about the streams. But even that is still just a select group of women that you may see that have enough streams where we really want to talk about it or enough songs on the charts. And so the numbers just aren't where they should be.
It's very hard to make it. I know that because I've mentored a few people. Mm-hmm. And I thought, of course, the Christine Divine touch is going to be golden. We're going to make it. And then, you know, I'm married to a musician as well. He would look at me like, mm-hmm. it's really that hard.
It's hard.
Right.
So what is...
And it's the same thing like just being, you know, a VP at a record label. You're up against all men. When you're on tour, you're with all men. So you have to have tough skin. And it's kind of hard, like you say, to kind of open the gate to bring another woman in to be able to hold that position or many other positions that may be available, because it's always been known that men has beaten us out for so long. Why, I don't know. But from the beginning, that's been like a challenge.
Well, it was always said, at least to me, you know, like women, we don't sell. Meaning we don't sell the concert halls out. We don't sell the CDs, you know, we don't sell. So it's generally like maybe one or two, but it's not a huge number where, say, the company could really count on these sales from this female artist. So they always said, women don't sell, which I thought was always a joke. But, you know, if that's the temperament, if that's the mindset of the decision maker, that this particular artist is not going to sell, then they're going to put all of their energies into that artist that they believe is going to sell. And 9 times out of 10, that artist looks like them. You know, it doesn't look like us. So the female artist tends to get the lesser budget. She tends to get the lesser opportunity because you feel like the guy over here is really going to bring the numbers in. But, you know, it's hard. Like you say, your husband said, hard. It is hard.
So when you see someone like a Beyonce mm-hmm. who has made it as big as she has, that really says a lot. And I read her a book on her, so I know her whole story of doing this as a little girl mm-hmm. and having the support of her mom and her mom making her costumes. When you see success like that, what does it tell you?
Well, it says it can happen. It says it can happen. I don't know how many people are as dedicated as, because it's easy to give up. I mean, I got to say, you know, from outside looking in, they really hung in there. They knew what they had, I believe, and they hung in there. And, you know, she herself. I mean, she had to want it herself, you know, and really, really wanted and was so focused on it that she didn't allow anything to deter her from that dream that she had set. And so even, say, when she was with the group, Destiny's Child, but I believe she had that vision of who she was going to be as an artist at some point in her life and in her career, right. And she continued to pursue that.
Well, Cheryl, even you working so much in sports and being a sports family, how much of it is about family support? Because my mom was the kind of the type where we tried a billion different things and then you can decide what you want to do. She wasn't really the mom necessarily who was going to be making the costumes and pushing me into one thing that we're going to do for years and years and years. It was tennis one summer. It was gymnastics one summer. It was Girl Scouts for a couple years. It was just, we were all over the board.
Family support is huge. I mean, it plays a vital part in everything that your kid is doing because, you know, you may think that your kid is involved in this one sport, or if they're involved in multiple sports, you're essentially a part of that sport because you're the one that's actually taking them around. You're the one that's encouraging them. You're the one that's making sure that they're at practice on time and, you know, making sure their homework is done. So the family support is vitally important for all aspects of anything that a child is doing. In order for them to be a well-rounded person.
Well, I was always mad that my mom didn't have us focus on one thing, so we became a master of something. Because we're like really a master of nothing. You know, we mastered nothing because you were doing so many different things.
Right.
So I really applaud those parents that really stick through day in and day out.
It's important. A lot of parents, you know, they may think that, I'm going to just drop him off at practice and then I'll come back and I'll pick them up. But it's important for you to be there just to know everything that's going on with your son. Some people nurture just one side of their son or daughter, but it's important to nurture the complete side of that person because, I mean, there are many facets of all of us. You know, it's just not, we're just not one-dimensional type people. You know, you may have the ones that are athletic. You may have the ones that are definitely in music. You may have the ones that have a creative side to them as far as like writing and, you know, speaking and things of that nature. And I just think that it's important that no matter what you're doing, that you bring out everything that's in that person and not just nurture the one-sidedness of them.
So, Carolyn, with your theme of 2020, I'll let you tell me what the theme is. I'm reading right here. You sent it to me.
Next.
I did. I was so next. So 2020, our theme is next. That means you not, you got next. I got next. As far as Napkin Film is concerned, we're up next for 2020. And that's growing the organization and just basically taking it to the next level from where it is now. So by 2020 being our 20th anniversary, it's a big deal for us. You know, a lot of organizations don't last that long. So by that being our milestone, we want to make sure that people understand that we have next.
So what is it? What is the future? What do you want to do?
Well, let me help her out a little bit there, because that next
This is why you're the CEO.
Right.
That next has a definitive meaning. So, again, it's NAPFM 20. We're 20 years in the business. So now what's next? Next is to really enforce the importance of networking. That is what the N stands for, networking. The E in next, it is about entrepreneurship. It is about education. The X is about exposure. So we provide more visibility for women in the business. And the T is the give back. Because regardless of how high we get and all of the things that we do, we got to reach back. Yeah. And bring somebody else along with us. Mm-hmm. And so we have to nurture our younger sisters, and we have to take a moment on our journeys to reach back and give back. So that's what the next is: networking, education, entrepreneurship, exposure, and the give back.
Where is it you're feeling good about the music industry?
Oh, wow.
I think that is making a comeback, because it kind of took a dip when all of the record labels started merging and things, and people were losing their jobs, and then all the digital era came into place, and you know, that was right after the piracy situation, so people weren't making the money that they were making off the sales and things like that. So that's pretty much what I think in that aspect.
Well, it was a transition for sure.
A big transition. Yeah. A very big transition. And now, you know, with music, it kind of moves around where the West has a certain sound, the South has a certain sound, and the East. And it always never happens at the same time, if that makes any sense.
Well, I'm seeing music mm-hmm. come back. That's what right. I'm feeling good about. I'm seeing young people actually learning to play instruments. Mm-hmm. So that means the creativity in music has an opportunity to come back. I'm seeing some people that actually can sing.
Right. That's true.
So it looks like
they sound like my husband. He's home. But can they really sing?
That's right. I mean, we got some people that, you know, they're Prince at best. We got stars that cannot sing. Right. And I'm seeing some really great singers. We're experiencing them in Women Who Jam. Mm-hmm. But the thing that I'm really excited about is I'm seeing so many young people and picking up instruments, and they're playing, and they're actually reading music. Mm-hmm. Is live music. And that's mm-hmm. what's exciting me.
Yeah.
Especially with all these live touring shows, they often have that live band.
Right. So that's true.
And even all the TV shows that
and
are
the
on now.
The millennials today, they're really into when they listen to a sound. Is that just a digital? Is it made on a keyboard? Does somebody actually go in there with a bass guitar? Do they go in there, you know, with different types of instruments? So they really are identifying that. Where back in the day, we weren't doing that. We hear music like, oh, it sounds good, and it's what it was.
Well, tell you what. As we're getting close to wrapping up the podcast, I wanted to ask you all to give some mentoring wisdom, some tips. If there are young people who are thinking, I want to be in music, what advice do you give that person who's up and coming?
I would say, don't be afraid to put your best foot forward, to go out and meet people, and to also accept creative criticism. So if someone's giving you their views and their highlights and their insights, you know, accept it. I'm not saying that you have to follow that lead, but 9 times out of 10, they're walking in shoes that you haven't walked in before. So they're just trying to tell you something that they feel that would save you from making a possible mistake that they made without mentioning that they made a mistake in that area. Go to as many networking events as possible, but more importantly, educate yourself about what you are seeking. Because if you don't educate yourself about what you're seeking, someone can tell you anything and you believe it and end up on the wrong road.
You know, I just did a podcast recently on Nipsey Hussle. We were marking the anniversary of his death with mm-hmm. four people who knew him, kind of a Snoop Dogg's entourage. And they talked so much about how Nipsey was a big reader, that he really studied a lot of the greats. I mean, and I also had interviewed his producers for the album that went to the Grammy nomination. Mm-hmm. And they talked about he was always reading. And studying.
Yeah, and that's why I say that's very important. And not even to like cross back over to what I said earlier. It just hurts to see that a person doesn't understand that I'm an artist. And you make beats, so I need a beat from you. So I come in the studio and I say, how much is this beat? And you go like, no, I just want like 3 points on the album. I'm like, you don't want any money? I'm like, no, I just want that. So you don't understand. So you kind of sign it away and give it to them. And then when your check comes, it goes to the person you gave the points to. But because you don't understand the system, you didn't know that.
Right.
So that's why I say just educate, ask questions. You can Google, you can buy books for dummies, you can go to the library. There's so much resources out there that you can take advantage of. You
know, don't forget the internet.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's a young artist that I kind of just try to give some life wisdom to, and mm-hmm. he was really upset about something with music. Mm-hmm. And so I turned to a producer who'd worked with Macy Gray back in the day, mm-hmm. and he basically said to me, you two don't understand the business mm-hmm. of music.
Wow.
And I'm like, oh, okay, put me in my place right there. Better do some reading.
Right.
Yeah. Because you don't understand how the money chart works.
Right.
Right. Right. Okay. So Cheryl, words of wisdom.
The words of wisdom that I have is always outwork the next person.
Mm.
Make sure you're always on time. You never have to allow someone to define who you are. You define who you are.
I'm always the 10 minutes late person.
Wow.
Because I'm trying to do one last thing at home. Let me just make the bed real quick. Okay, on time. All right, listen to your tips. Feed me some more.
Always be on time.
Okay.
Always
I'm going to work on that.
Work the next person.
Okay.
And it's always good to learn from others that have gone before you. You know, you don't know everything, but it's always good to learn something new. You should always look to strive to be a better version of who you were yesterday than today. You should always
That's nonstop, right?
Oh, completely. Every single day, you should strive to learn something new. And I just think that, you know, if you develop a healthy appetite and you work hard, the sky's the limit.
Okay.
Make the universe your playground.
What a touch of consistency. Yeah. Stay consistent in whatever you do.
Okay, Johnny?
Well, entertainment, music, it's a tough game, man. It changes every day. No, I'm about to say every day. I'm going to say every hour. So it's very important for you to be disciplined. You got to be disciplined. You got to know when to leave the party. I know you're going to stay there all night, but you got to know when to leave. You got to be patient. Maybe it's not your time, mm-hmm. but you hang in there. But you got to be patient. And you have to be authentic. I mean, you know, a lot of times it's so easy to emulate what somebody else is doing, but that's not you. It's not who you are. So if you're going to make your mark, if you're going to leave your fingerprint on something, you have to be authentic. So my words of advice, discipline, patience, be authentic. And some things will work.
I like that. I like that. Okay, so I'm very excited for you all. NABFM celebrating its 20th anniversary. For those who don't know about the organization, where do they find you?
www.nabfeme.org. That's nabfem.org. And you can actually join in celebration of our 20th anniversary. You can become a member for $20 under our Take 20 campaign that will take you into the year 2020.
And then you're suggesting they attend an event?
And come out this Saturday at we're having a sip and paint at Brushstrokes in Tustin.
Okay, so this podcast might air after that event. So bottom line is you are doing events that they should know about and be checking the
website.
Almost
definitely. Definitely. They should check out the website for the various events that we're doing all across the country.
Yeah. I would say you know, for the members, they receive emails so that they get email alerts of what's coming up and things like that. They get reminder updates and things like that. And if they're not a member, it's okay. They can send us a message on Facebook or Instagram or LinkedIn or Twitter. And we always respond and get their email addresses and include them, you know, so that they can be a part of what we're doing and find out who we are and what we're about. And hopefully we can gain them as a member as well.
So, Johnny, as the CEO and founder of this organization, what's been the most rewarding part for you?
Golly, I have quite a few of those.
Okay. We'll let you bring it on home.
Well, you know, I think the most rewarding thing for me is when I meet a young lady who I may have mentored or shared information with regarding a job or position or whatever she was doing, and she got it. And that just has always fulfilled me. Probably over the 20 years that I've been doing this, the one thing that has probably excited me more than anything, my grandson came home one afternoon and he says, "There's a girl in my class. She's following you on Instagram."
Really?
What? This girl is, you're following my grandmother. And he said, the young girl said that, "Oh, but she's so cool. And she does a lot of things in women's empowerment. And that's the person I want to follow."
Wow. And suddenly you became cool.
I'm cool. I'm cool.
Very nice. Very nice. Well, that is a great compliment. All right. On that note, I want to thank you all for coming down to Olympic and Bundy here for our podcast. I'm Christine Devine of Fox 11 News. And I just love this chance to really, you know, spend some time chatting, being that the average news story is like a minute and a half. As a chance to really share some interesting information. So as we sign off with our music from a young man named DJ Reaper in Southern California here, and our producer, Oscar Flores.